Hey guys, I'm Jen, owner of Hello June Creative, a boutique brand and web design studio. I'm here to help you learn, up-level, and find community in your design business journey. Just remember, the only designer you need to be better than is the one you were yesterday. Hey everyone, welcome back to Better the Brand Designer podcast. I just had the best conversation with Sarah Massey from Day Rate Mastery, who is one of the OG designers of the VIP day that we all know and love today. I got to have a great conversation with her about her journey to kind of discovering VIP days by accident and how it completely transformed her business, helped her get out of burnout, and helped her be so much more profitable than she used to be and just have a way better time serving her clients. Here is her bio. She is the CEO and founder of Day Rate Mastery, an online company that teaches expert service providers how to work less and make more with a streamlined VIP day business model. Years of running a traditional design business filled with scope creep, inconsistent timelines, and overlapping client projects eventually resulted in classic burnout, becoming the catalyst that sparked Sarah's desire to create a better process. Since its inception in 2019, Day Rate Mastery has helped thousands of freelancers rediscover joy in their work and the freedom they've lost along the way. Without further ado, here is my conversation with Sarah. Hey everyone, welcome back to Better the Brand Designer podcast. I am so excited to welcome Sarah Massey from Day Rate Mastery here on the podcast to talk all things day rates with you guys. I know this is a topic that I'm personally super interested in. And when I think about like the OG, like person that I feel like represents day rates and kind of almost spearheaded that popularity into our industry, I think of Sarah. And so Sarah, just thank you so much for gracing us with your presence and being here with me today.
Hey, Jen. Yeah, I am so excited to be here. I know I told you before we started recording, I've been listening to your podcast for a while, and I'm just so happy to be able to talk all things day rates and VIP days and all the things with your audience.
Amazing. Okay, well, let's just dive right in. I would love to hear more about how you started your business and what your offers looked like in the very early days, because I know you went through a transformation that we'll talk about in a little bit where you shifted over to primarily day rates and probably only day rates now at this point. And I'm curious about not only like, you know, what it was like kind of back then when you first started, but also kind of shifting into what that big transformation looked like for you in your journey.
Yeah, this kind of takes us way back. So I actually started my business in 2005 and didn't start doing day rates until 2018. So that was a 13-year journey of like just getting started to, you know, that whole evolution into day rates and where I am today. But yeah, it was 2005 and my oldest son, he's now 19. He was a baby and I was like in corporate, hated my life because I hated that part of my life working in corporate and not having any time with my son. And so I just was like, I got to figure out a way to work from home so that I can be home with him. And so it was about 5 years of like throwing spaghetti at the wall, just trying to figure out like, what can I do to work from home? I had a blog, I had an Etsy shop. I really got started in graphic design by doing stationery, like personalized stationery prints, that kind of thing. I had a pretty successful Etsy business and just, it was a lot of word of mouth and getting to know other mom business owners through my local community here in Charlotte, North Carolina, and through blogging and all that. So I just met a lot of mom business owners and I kind of slowly started to discover that even though I wasn't a trained designer, I was good at design. And so I was figuring things out, figuring out, you know, totally self-taught. And I started to have people asking me like, hey, can you help me with a logo? Can you help me with this? And when I was running my blog, people were asking me to like, I was selling advertising. They were asking for the ad creation. And so I just kind of started doing all of those things and one thing led to another. And by around 2010, I was like, okay, all of these other little businesses have to go. I just need to go all in on branding for the most part. It was like branding and graphic design. So I did that for a few years. And I had three more kids over the course of that time. So I was very busy with four little boys and trying to run this business, trying to figure things out. I had never worked with a coach or any sort of a mentor. So I was literally like just trying to figure it all out on my own. And then in 2013, one of my branding clients was like, can you help me with a website? And I had never done a website before. And so I was like, well, let me take a look. I was one of those people who just figured everything out. Like a client would ask for it and I would, okay, let's figure out how to do it. And it was that mindset of never being able to say no to anyone and wanting to figure out everything that people wanted. And so yes, that's great. Yes, some people will call me resourceful and all of those things, but it really spiraled into not being able to say no to anyone and ending up with a huge client roster of, you know, branding, web design, graphic design, and just like, I just ended up working with all of these clients. Also probably because I wasn't charging enough. So I was saying yes to everyone and my rates were pretty affordable at the time. Like that was 2013 to 2016. And so I just kind of grew that way through word of mouth and local networking, going to my local chamber of commerce, that kind of thing. So that's really kind of the early days story. Yeah.
Yeah, I really relate to that. I mean, I started on Etsy as well doing stationery. So we have a really similar story. I used to do this little, you know, when hand lettering was all the craze, I would do these like, you know, scripture verses. I did like sorority stuff and like ended up having to do licensing with that. That was a whole thing. But I realized that I hit this like wall where I was like, okay, well, I really can't raise the price of a greeting card beyond $5. Like no one's going to want to pay like $8 for a greeting card, you know? And so all of the packing and shipping and everything. Like I remember one month I covered like our rent for our apartment. I was like, whoa, this is really cool. Like my husband was newly in the army and we were like moving all over the place and I had no idea like what I wanted to do. And I found branding through that as well. And kind of that business retired and I started branding, just kind of taking what a logo, sure, you know, like $200, here you go. And I really relate to that so much. But I think a lot of people who start out, they struggle so much with like getting clients just in the beginning. But it sounds like one of your biggest struggles was like parsing through like all of the interest that you were having and like raising your rates to a place that felt really profitable for you. And I love that you were going out there in person. Chamber of Commerce is a great way to get connected with people. I know this isn't in the outline, but just for all of our newer designers out there, like what do you think is one of the biggest things that helped you generate that type of interest in your business, even in the early days?
Yeah. I mean, it's so funny because nowadays we all come into business and it's like social media, Facebook groups, online networking, global clients, right? You can work with anybody in the world because of everything we have now. When I started, that was like so not, like Facebook didn't even exist. Instagram didn't exist. Like I didn't start using Instagram until like 2010, right? And I was already 5 years into my business. So all I did what I knew, which was networking in person. And I'm like totally introverted, super shy, would never go to like one of those coffee and connections and like just go sit in a room and start talking to strangers. But what I was good at was like participating in local like mom friendly events and connecting with other local business owners just like through smaller little word of mouth kind of things. So we would have like a neighborhood craft, like one of the neighborhoods near me would have, like they opened their clubhouse and did like a craft show for moms. And I brought my whole Etsy business into there, you know, set up all my stationery. And so I met the other business owners through those kinds of events. And then we did move in 2013 to a small town in New York for 3 years. And I was like, I'll just go to the Chamber of Commerce. It's such a tiny little town. I got to know the director and she introduced me to the boutiques, like the little local boutiques, the little coffee shop, all of that. And then I became like the designer in that town. So it's just finding those little connections that you can. I don't know. I'm just a big believer in like local networking is so much more effective than trying. You're such a small fish in the online space and you can be a big fish in your local community.
I love that so much. And I feel like I was talking with Xanthi from OSierra at the end of last season. And she was saying like, she is putting a lot of focus on IRL versus URL. I think we're going to see this shift this year, especially in the like post COVID era to like, people just like craving that type of in-person connection. And then also seeing the value that, like you said, that where you can be the only designer in a sea of like other businesses. I mean, I just moved to a really small town here and they have a very active chamber. And I've been, I mean, it's hard with mom life, but I've been meaning to go out and just like connect with some of the local businesses here, because you never know, even if someone's not interested in your services, you don't know who they're going to know and you don't know who they're going to know. And even in my like digital engagement, like lead generation strategy, I'm constantly DMing people, be like, hey, like, do you know so-and-so from XYZ business? Like they just recommended you to me and I just followed and I just love your stuff. Like just kind of bringing that type of like in-person kindness and like connection to a digital space too. So I think that there's, you know, multiple layers there that can help people start to generate that network that is going to then feed them clients, not just right now, but like over time too. So thanks for sharing that with us.
Yeah. And I will also just say like that chamber that I connected with, that was 2013, 2014. And we only lived there until 2016. We moved back to Charlotte at that point. So I was there for 3 years and came back here in 2016. Now it's 2024. So it's 8 years later and I'm still like connected with those people and I'm still getting referrals, even though I don't even do that design work at all anymore. I still am getting like contacted every once in a while. And it's just so interesting how long those kind of relationships, when you do connect in person, they just, you know, they just kind of stay steady.
Yeah. 100%. I always tell my students and podcast listeners, make friends first, and then the referrals will come after that. Because people feel icky and weird about like, oh, networking with a capital N or like outbound engagement or whatever. But it's like, if you just be your authentic self and like just connect with people, compliment them, tell them how you found them. That's another thing that like I think helps break the ice a little bit, especially when you're doing digital outreach, is like, hey, like I found you popped up on my explore page and like I just saw the rug that you made. It's really beautiful or whatever. Like most of the time people are like, oh my gosh, really? I didn't know Instagram was featuring me on the explore page. That's really cool. So rather than like, oh, she's just trying to engage with me to get business, it's like I'm actually providing them something valuable by telling them how I connected with them and how I found them and followed their account. Because everyone is like just hurting right now for any type of data as to whether or not their marketing is working and what type of people are finding them. So that's a little tidbit if you guys are feeling like, oh, outbound engagement, like I don't want to DM a stranger. Like I couldn't walk up to someone with a wine glass in hand. It's like you probably could. And if someone came to you and like was like, ah, I found you on my explore page and like your brand design work is so beautiful, would that not make your day? Like, you know, even if you could tell that they were kind of trying to engage with you or if they were like a coach or something, like that would still make me smile. And it's like, oh my gosh, thank you. Like, you know what I mean? So there's, you can make it fun and organic. And I feel like outreach doesn't have to feel so like icky and all those types of negative feelings that I think people get from it super often. So love this conversation. But let's move forward to, you're working with all these clients, you're not charging enough, you're starting to probably feel a little bit burned out. Tell me more about what that was like for you and then what shifts kind of came about in your life and business because of that.
Yeah. So that kind of brought us up to like 2016. I said, we moved back to Charlotte at, you know, around then. And I was like maxed out. I was never like lacking for clients and I was just working. I felt like it was just never ending. I had a few retainer clients, not a lot, to be honest. Most of my design business has been from project-based work. So logo design, web design, and then like I would do a custom proposal. We would do the project. Project would be, you know, supposed to be like 4 weeks and it would be 4 months or 8 months, or we could talk about all
relatable,
of that.
Relatable.
Yeah. So, but that was the majority of my work. And I just kept like stacking on projects because the clients were not getting me content in time, or there was scope creep, or, you know, a client would like book me and we would start a project and then they would disappear. And I'm like, hello, like I am in the middle of your project. We need to finish it. I need to get paid. And they would be gone for whatever reason. And so that was all starting to happen 2016, 2017. I was becoming just more and more frustrated and resentful towards my clients because I just kept having to take on more. I kept having to say yes to more work because the existing work wasn't like wrapping up the way it was supposed to. And that was also the time I kind of really discovered like Facebook groups, podcasts, coaching, like the whole coaching world. I was like, what is this whole online space? I had been in my little local bubble for so long that I was like, okay, there's like all this opportunity out there. Let me explore what I can do. And so I hired my first business coach and really got like focused on, okay, how can I hit 10K months? Like that was my first goal with her, was like, what do I need to do to hit 10K months? And I did it a little once in a while, but it was never consistent. And I felt like I still had to say yes to so much work in order to hit those 10K months. And then I talked to more people and people were like, why don't you launch a course teaching people how to do branding or how to do web design, like teach other people, then you can do a one-to-many model and you won't have to take on so many new clients. So I explored that. I launched a branding course. It went well. Like that was actually a really good, happy, profitable time for my business. But I was still saying yes to all of that design work. And I had like the branding course, and the branding course clients would eventually turn into a web design client because they would learn how to do their branding and then they would want me to do their website. And so that all was kind of going on from 2016 through like the end of 2017. And then like I accidentally discovered day rates in 2018. So I don't know. Do you want me to like tell you the story about that, or did you want to ask anything else?
Yes. No, keep going. Like I love a good story time, and I feel like we're building towards the like topic of today's episode. We'll go into all the details after the end of the story.
So it was the beginning of 2018. I was totally maxed out, I say burnout, and I wasn't, I don't know if you could say I was like in bed burnt out, but I just felt like all I was doing was working. I was like, eat, sleep, work, repeat, eat, sleep, work, repeat. It was just 7 days a week of client work. I was bringing client work with me on vacation. My family would be at the beach and I would be in the beach house, like checking in on a client or, you know, doing some little, or there'd be like an emergency or something like that. And so 2018, I got an email from a client who I'd worked with like a year before. And she wanted to know, it was a whole email of like, hey, can you give me a quote for updating this, my blog page, or adding a blog page and changing out these photos? And I would like to add some more content on my About Me page. And also, I think I want to switch from MailChimp to ActiveCampaign. So what would that look like? And how much would that cost for you to help me? And I was like, I can't even think. Like, I can't even take the time to assess what she wants and give her a quote, because as you know, like quoting someone takes time, it takes research, like you've got to look at the project, figure out, okay, how much is this going to cost? And so I was like, how about you just pay me for a day and I'll just get as much done as I can. And I was like, I can carve out one day next Friday and we will just get as much done on your list as we can. And then you can, and then we'll see if we need another day. And I don't remember the exact language I used, but it was along those lines. And she was like, great, let's do it. And so she paid me for, it actually ended up being 2 5-hour days, I think. I think we did like 2 5-hour days. So it was 10 hours total. And we prioritized her list of things. And I just like set aside that time and knocked it out. And this is the embarrassing part, is that I charged her $500 for that time. But we got it all done. And she was so happy. And I was so happy. And I was like, I just made $500. And literally, I just had to do this work and I didn't have to do anything else. I didn't have to, you know, do any proposals or anything. Like it was just so easy. And so that was in February 2018. And I was like, I need to do more of this. Like I need to explore this more, because that was probably the easiest and best experience I had had as a designer in a long time. because she was happy, I was happy, it was done at the end of the day. There was nothing, you know, no like over.
There was no email back and forth and feedback. Nothing. And that's the project management stuff just gunks down projects. And like, especially when I'm trying to bring on like work on multiple clients at a time, like if I only worked on one at a time, I would be able to get it done much faster. But like I can't because I have other client priorities coming up. So that's so cool that you kind of stumbled into this just based off of like, okay, this would just make the most sense. Like no one came to you and was like, you need to do a VIP day. So did you invent like VIP days? Like has anyone been doing that like before you kind of put that together? Because I don't know who I heard it about from, but I remember it exploded like a few years ago. And yeah. I was like, I remembered your name and stuff. So like, what are your thoughts about it? Like, are you the OG?
Yeah, I mean, I had heard about people doing a website in a week or like that was kind of the most I'd really heard about this concept of like, okay, maybe I could do a website in a week, or maybe I could do a 2-week sprint, or yeah, like those were the kinds of things. And I was like, what if, and I knew because I had been doing this for so long, I knew I was good. I knew I was fast. I knew I was, if I just didn't have any distractions and I had everything I need, I knew that I could get a lot of work done in that condensed time. Yeah. And it was just like, I had heard of intensives before, so like design intensives, and I was like, all right, let's just see. Let's just experiment and try this out. And then I did it, and I was actually in a designer's mastermind back then. There was about 50 designers or so in that group with me, and we were all sharing what was working, what wasn't working, what's new, sharing like referrals, that kind of thing. And I just went in the group. I was like, you guys, like, I just did this design in a day and it was the most amazing thing ever. And they were all like, oh, tell us more. And so that's when I realized that what I had just done was something that wasn't happening anywhere else. Like it wasn't being done. And so that's kind of what I think triggered this like revolution of day rates, because I shared it with them. And then I launched my course about 18 months later. So I really mastered it for about 18 months. And then I launched my program in 2019.
Wow.
And I think that's when, like, that's kind of
when it traced it back to the source. I mean, I remember that time, and I remember someone mentioning it to me. I don't remember who it was, but I was like, that is genius, because you're right. I mean, especially as moms, like give me 5 minutes and I can do so, I can send 10 emails. I can throw a little laundry in, I can get the soup cooking. Like 5 uninterrupted minutes is like, wow, we can do so much. And I think at the point you were at in your career, it made sense for you because you were like, I know this stuff like the back of my hand. I just need to get out of my inbox and turn my phone off and just sit down and focus and knock this out. And like, what an amazing way to provide value and a fast turnaround time to a client at a price that feels so profitable for you, which is why I personally love doing VIP days and day rates. So that is so cool. I feel like I've just sleuthed my way to like the very beginning of like a revolution in our industry, because it really does feel like a revolution. I'm not trying to like make this sound like a bigger deal than it actually is, but I can't tell you personally, and also anyone listening, you guys, like how much money and how profitable I have been and how many projects I've been able to retain rather than sending them away because they were too small in my own studio, because I was able to offer a day rate. So how did that end up impacting your company? Like what shifts did you notice? I know you're probably taking on more and more day rates. Clients don't really come to us asking for day rates, but we can fit their needs into a day rate. So when people came to you, were you just like, oh, day rate that, day rate this? Like tell me more about how that grew for your company.
Yeah. So that was 2018. I did that first one. I was like, this is so fun. I'm going to try this again. And so another client, I have always had old clients coming back to me for updates, refresh. Can you do this? Like that was a normal thing.
Oh, the refresh, the refresh, the brand refresh. Yeah. Those go into day rates for me. I'm like, you're going to need a VIP day. Let's do it. They're like, oh, that sounds great. I want to be a VIP. Just the word refresh is funny.
She came to me and she's like, I had done her branding. She's like, well, I tried to do my website myself. You can see it here. I built it on Squarespace. I think it's okay, but I would just love your designer's eye on it. Could you just put your magical designer's touch on it? And what would that cost? And I was like, oh, well, by the way, I just started offering this new service. And So I pitched her a day rate. She said yes. Then I had one of those old clients who I like built her site almost to the finish line. And then she disappeared for like over a year. And then she came back and she was like, how much would it cost to restart my project? And I was like, oh, well, funny you should ask. I actually have this day rate. And so I pitched that to her and she said yes. So I did that with about three more clients. And I was like, okay, I'm onto something. People are loving it. And I was still only charging like $500 to $700 for a day. And I remember my coach at the time was like, you need to be charging at least $1,000. And I was like, no way. Nobody's going to pay me that much for a day. Like, I just didn't believe it. And that's why I was so burnt out and broke, because I was clearly undercharging for all of those projects. And then slowly I raised my prices to $950 and then all the way up to $3,000 per day over time. But in those first few months, I did try out a few. I realized I loved it. I realized people were very happy with the results. And so I kind of made a public official offer about a month later, and I had people booking them. But I still had all of these projects that I had was like in the middle of from months prior, you know, so like I still had project work that needed to be wrapped up. So it was kind of a juggle of still completing project work and taking on day rates for any new clients that came to me or like old clients who wanted new work. And so it was a big juggle from like March, April, May till June. And then I really just focused on wrapping up as many projects as I could, so that I could go all in on the VIP days or day rates, which was like maybe 4 or 5 months later. Still had some project work kind of lingering until the end of that year. And then it was in December of 2018, I emailed my list, my tiny little list, which was basically just my clients, and said, hey, from this point forward, I'm no longer offering project work or retainers. If you want to work with me, this is the only way to work with me. I called it Book Me for a Day. I had like a landing page with the offer outlined, the price, with a calendar to book a day with me for whatever you need. And that was at the end of 2018. And honestly, I've only done day rates ever since then.
Wow, that is so incredible. And so if a client needs, my first question that I'm sure people are thinking, if a client needs more than what you can do in one day, they just have to book another day, right? And then they would have to just book another day. Do you do like a discount for like multiple days booked, or is it just one flat fee for everything?
Yeah. So for the most part, it's just one flat fee for your day. Mm-hmm. And on that discovery call, you should be able to quote the number of days. So you you get your project scope, you talk about it, you find out what their needs are, what their priorities are, and you should be able to know enough about your speed and what you can get done in a day that you could quote, okay, based on what I'm hearing you say, this is going to be 2 to 3 days. Let's get started with 2 days and see how much we can get done. And then if we need a third day, you can book it at that point. Or let's go ahead and get 3 days on the calendar. And then you can always book more to like build out your brand or your website or your collateral later on. So I've had clients book 5, 6, 7 days with me over the course of a few months, right? Like most project, like a typical project, like branding and a simple-ish website would be about 3 days. And then they would come back to me later on because they wanted me to build them a sales page or they, you know, whatever they needed. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of how it was. But then there's clients who are like, I just need a one-page landing page to start building my email list. And I already have branding. I just need you to build out a landing page or a 2-page website. And so I would just quote that as a 1-day project.
Got it. And so you're saying that you kind of spread out some of the days over the course of a few weeks. So like, for example, a website where you need to like collect content and they need to fill out their questionnaire and you need to like probably have a call with them. Like, do you just intentionally bake time in between those days for them to like review? Like, tell me more about kind of how you like do the timeline for those longer projects. Cause this is something that I've never done like a multi VIP day project before. It's usually just like a one-off, like, oh, it's too small for one of my other offers. So, and this is how I see most designers utilizing VIP days, but like, I'm so curious about that. I know our audience is going to be as well.
Yeah. So honestly, it started out of kind of necessity, because when I first started doing the VIP days, I was still doing project work. So I still had day-to-day other client work that I had to get, I was obligated to finish, right? And so I would be like, okay, I'm going to dedicate one day a week to my book me for a day offer. So I would only have one opening every week that someone could book me for a day, because like I said, they filled up fast. Like as soon as I started offering them, people were filling those spots. And so I could only do one a week until I slowly got rid of all those projects, that I finished the projects. And now my calendar started opening up and I had basically 5 days a week of like whatever I wanted to do with those days. And so I did try to do 3 VIP days in a week. And I found that that was like creatively exhausting and energetically exhausting. And so I landed on my sweet spot of 2 days per week. But I also know that, and you probably know this too, like it is draining to do a VIP day. And so you need to build buffer in between. You need days off. And so I would say like, okay, I'm going to have VIP days on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And when a client would need 3 days, I'm not doing Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I'm doing Tuesday, Thursday, Tuesday. Or in some cases we would do Tuesday, Tuesday, Tuesday. And so we just kind of spread it out to make it work for both of us.
Got it. Okay. I mean, this is honestly the way that I work already. Like I will set aside the time to, based off of the highest priority and the due date that like I have, okay, this brand is due or this strategy is due. All my client delivery happens every Thursday. And I also don't want my Thursday to look insane because I didn't do anything Monday through Wednesday. So I'm trying to like, all right, today I'm going to knock out the brand concept for client X. Today I'm going to do the homepage for this other client. Today I'm going to blah, blah, blah. Like that's just kind of how my brain works. And I know not everyone's brain is like that. Like I thrive on being able to sit down, start something and finish something in one sitting. Like puzzles stress me out because they're just sitting there like unfinished. And like, I don't know. I don't love that. Like I hate walking away from an unfinished art board where I'm like noodling on a concept that's not like looking great is my idea of like my worst nightmare. Like I have to like sit down and at least get the concept to a place where I'm like, okay, this is feeling like the right direction. So I think that it's really cool that like not only are you doing kind of like, oh, it's a one-off day for like a client with smaller needs or a lower budget, which is kind of like where I'm seeing VIP days fitting into people's offer suites as a whole, which is probably the way you do as well. But like you are completely turning this like 4 to 6 week timeline like on its head. And just structuring the way that you're putting your offer suite together in a way that's like these modular building blocks that are probably really easy for your clients to understand your offer suite. Because that's another thing I see designers struggle with is like, okay, well, how do I articulate what this offer is and like how much you get and like how much time you get with me and like what the value is and why does it take 8 weeks? Like, why does it take 6 weeks or why does it take 4 months or whatever?
Right.
So I think, have you found that like your clients like immediately understand like, oh, okay, I just book this series of days with you. Have you ever had someone question that or like struggle with that?
I think the key is like what I did at the very beginning. I just experimented with it with those first few clients. I was like, okay, let's just see how this goes. Let's just try this. Let's just try. And I was very transparent with the client. Like, hey, this is new. This is a new offer. And I think we can get it all done in a day. Let's try. I'm not going to leave you hanging. Like if we can't get it done, I'll finish it, right? I'll finish it the next day or whatever. But I was like, let's just try to get it all done in one day. And this is what I'm going to need from you. And then the more I did, the more I knew what was possible. And then I could very easily say, here's an example of someone just like you who we got all this done in a day. Here's an example of a branding project. Here's an example of a 2-day website project. Here's a client who booked me for 3 days, and these are all the things that we did. And so my portfolio of day rate work started to build slowly through experimentation and like having clients who trusted me enough to let me try this with them. And then I all of a sudden had this portfolio. I had testimonials. I had case studies. I had like all of the proof that it works. And so you need to get that. Like if you're not gathering proof than just start getting proof, because proof, social proof and testimonials and a portfolio is what is going to sell your VIP day. I still, and I tell all of my students this, never guarantee deliverables or promise a total transformation, because it's so dependent on the client. They've got to get you everything you need in order for you to do your job right. They've got to be available to give you feedback throughout the day. And if they ask you for 800 changes, then you're not going to finish the website or the brand, right? You're not going to finish if the client is really needy and asks for a million things. So you have to be transparent with the client and say, this is typically what we can get done in a day, provided that you're available, responsive, happy with the work, ready to go, ready to start. And no, the client doesn't need to be sitting there all day, but they need to be available through like some sort of a communication tool or something so that you can be in communication with them as you're working. I think I just went off on a tangent, but
no, that was great. I mean, we're getting into the nitty gritty of what makes a successful VIP day, and you hit the nail on the head. I mean, when I talk about VIP days with my own students and just tell them about how I do things, I mean, I say the same, is that like, it's all about client communication and managing the project really tightly and really well. On the front side with the proposal, having a list of like, I have a specific list of like day rate policies that I follow, and that like, I make sure the client is like initialing next to the understanding that this is a like time-based investment, and it's an amazing investment because it lets you get things really quickly, but like, it's all dependent on them responding to me really quickly. Do you have a preferred tool or like method of client communication? Because I've been using text recently for my clients, and I would like, I feel like me a couple years ago would be like, Jen, oh my gosh, never give a client your personal cell phone number. Like, how could you? But like, I also tend to work with past clients who have like already invested with me, and we already have like established a rapport. And also a lot of my clients are interior designers. They're running around. They're not at their desk. They're like, they're out and about. And like, they find it very valuable that I am willing to send them screenshots of my artboard over text. And like, they can just give me a quick like 5 minute call if they need to talk to me. Like, I feel like it almost adds this like elevated value of me just kind of like almost being on call for them like that day. And like, that client experience is something that my clients really value, and I'm sure yours are the same way. So tell me more about like kind of the nitty-gritty of the like client communication during the day of.
I mean, remember, this is back in 2018 when I started doing it. And most of my clients were, I was connected with them on Facebook. Like, we were Facebook friends because they were clients. So like you, my clients eventually became my friends. And so I would be like, we'll just chat on Facebook Messenger. Like, we can just chat there. And it worked for them. And I feel like nowadays people are like, oh my gosh, you're chatting with your clients on Messenger. Like, how outdated and old school is that? But like, it just worked. And
it's like DM.
With it. Right. It was fine. And so I eventually got to the point where I would just tell the client, like, what is the best communication? We can use Voxer, we can use Slack, we can use Messenger, we can use WhatsApp. I didn't love using WhatsApp, but for my international clients, that's what they preferred. So we just found what worked on a client by client basis. And I put that right in my onboarding. Like, we will communicate throughout the day using your preferred choice of communication tool. And they loved that because they, like, all of a sudden the power was in their hands, that they got to choose. They didn't have to go into my Asana board or my Notion dash. Like, they didn't have to follow my thing. I was like, let's just make it easy for you and use what works for you. One client, I remember we struggled with like all of the apps. She was in Australia, or she was like somewhere on the other side of the world. And none of the apps were working. There was like an internet thing, but the one tool that actually was working was a Google Doc. So we had a shared Google Doc, and we were literally like chatting to each other. And I was dropping screenshots in the Google Doc, and she would type below it, yes, I love it. And like, it was just the funniest thing.
I love that.
That was the one thing that worked for us. So yeah.
Yeah. Well, you're providing like a high level of client experience for your clients. Like you said, like, by allowing them to choose what's going to work best for them. And to this day, I manage most of my project, like VIP days and non-VIP days. Well, I don't do day of VIP day communication via email because it's just too messy. But email is just like how I communicate with the majority of my clients, because, and they love that. They're like relieved that they don't have to like log into some separate thing. And we do have a client portal in Notion that they could look at if they want to see the timeline, but like, they can always reach me via email. Like, I just find that is just a great way for me to maintain that, like, that just high-end client experience where, like, I'm catering to them and, like, where they're already looking and they're already serving their clients in that way. And I find I just get better response times when I email my clients.
I think as designers and just, like, online business owners in general, we are so exposed to, like, all of these new tech tools and resources and things, whereas we forget that our clients are not sitting at a computer all day like we are. So they're going about their day doing their thing, and they need, like you said, like, texting is just what they use because they're not sitting at their computer all day like we are.
Yeah, 100%. So that has, I found that that has been great for clients that already use Voxer and know how to use it. That is preferred for me over text because I use Voxer for my students, and it's, I just, I'm an audio processing person. And so, like, I love getting, like, voice notes from people, and I tell them to, you know, do text if they can, because it's just faster for me to, like, glance at and, like, implement. Yeah. But I know you can do voice notes on text now too. You can do voice notes on Instagram DMs. Like, I feel like voice notes, and Slack has voice notes now. Like, it's coming out with, like, a lot of, like, individual, just such, so great for asynchronous communication. And even though VIP day, like, it is pretty in the moment. Like, I've had clients see the VIP day booking on their calendar, because I do invite them to a Google Calendar event because it shows them at what times I'm going to be performing the work. They're like, are we really going to be on a phone call for 6 hours? Mm-hmm. I'm like, girl, no. Like, just be available during that time on email or whatever. Like, this is the time that you've paid for within my studio. So I realize I need to be a little bit more vocal about what that that is.
Yeah, but it's so funny. Whenever I'm teaching or getting on calls like this, and I go on and on about the VIP day, and then, like, halfway through, somebody would be like, so you're on Zoom with them the whole time? I'm like, no.
Yeah.
Like, no. It's not that.
I know. It's so funny. I guess we just – I never would think that you would have to be on the phone with someone for that. I'd be like, but this seems like a really long meeting. I had someone ask me for an agenda because we did a half day at 3 hours, and she's like, hey, can I get an agenda for our call? I just want to, you know – be prepared for our 3 hour meeting. I was like, oh, no. You work on your, this is what you're paying me for. Right. And she was, like, really relieved. So, well, you know, I feel like this is such great information kind of about the way that you use VIP days, not only just for those, like I said, little one-off things, but for your entire business model is based around this. And so I'm assuming that you got to that 10K per month price point plus and above and beyond. Tell us now how many VIP days you do per month, and, like, what types of projects kind of come your way for those. And then we can get into just a couple of the little, not necessarily counter arguments, but just some hesitations that I've heard designers have about VIP days so that you can calm everyone's nerves.
Yeah. Okay. So, 2019, I was doing, like, 2 a week, 2020, 2021. And I was eventually, like I said, raising my rates and got to $3,000 per day. But I also launched my program in 2019, and that started to grow significantly in 2020, especially with the pandemic. All of a sudden, everybody was like,
oh, I bet. I bet. Mm-hmm.
So I am right now, I'm not doing VIP days. I did them for about 3 years, you know, like, up through, like, the end of 2022. I was doing, and I scaled way back. I was only doing 1 a week because I had a whole program full of students that I was serving. But yeah, I mean, like, I went from, I was before VIP days, I was averaging, like, around 5 to 7K per month, usually, give or take, and pretty quickly hit those 10K months in the fall of 2018. And, like, stayed there, never went below that.
Amazing.
And then I launched my course. And the thing is, and I'll just say this, like, and you can probably relate to this, is that for me, doing the VIP days and switching to only my Book Me For A Day offer at the end of 2018 freed up so much space in my schedule that it allowed me to create my digital offers and my courses and my coaching programs. And so I never would have had the time to do that when I was working 7 days a week on client work. But all of a sudden I had all of this white space in my calendar, and I was like, okay. And people are asking me, how do you do it? How do you do it? How do you do it? So I launched the course, and then before I knew it, I had, like, 300 people in my course within a year. And I was like, I, you know, just being like totally transparent, I can make more money selling this course than I can. I don't want to spend all day doing VIP days if all I have to do is sell this course and help other people. So I did juggle both for about 2 years, scaled back on the number of days I was doing, grew my program. And then, like I said, at the end of 2022 was like my last VIP day. And so all of 2023, I was just 100% coaching. And any clients that come to me, I just refer them to all of my students because I have students doing the same thing that I was doing.
So, well, that is so cool. And I think it's cool that you're coaching out of that space of like having done it for years yourself. It's not like you thought of the thought of it and then immediately went into selling coaching and education, which I think we see happen a lot of the time. Like very, very new designers to business will come out with a course or a program, which is great. Like I love that. I think it's there's a room and enough for everyone in the space. But I think it says a lot that it took you a full 18 months before you even launched any type of like teaching around what you had created. And that probably made it so much more valuable. You probably learned so much over those 18 months. And then you didn't just shut it all down. Like you kept on doing it, even though you were doing education at the same time, which I think is the right way to introduce education into a business model for sure.
And my students would even say they appreciated the fact that I was in it with them. And I was, I would go into my student group and be like, I'm in a VIP day today. Who else is doing a VIP day? And so we would have that like collective camaraderie in the group. Mm-hmm. And I was always bringing in new personal experiences and like personal discoveries about this model. Like, oh, hey, I just found this great new resource that will help with XYZ. And so I was always like bringing in new stuff. And now, like I said, we've had over 1,000 students go through the program.
Wow. So congratulations.
Thanks. Yeah. But like their collective wisdom is what makes the community so great now is that they're all in it together. And I am like learning from them now, almost like some of the things they're like, hey, this is what happened. I'm like, this is amazing. Like, I love that they're all so resourceful and just sharing with each other.
Awesome. Well, I want to get into learning more about Day Rate Mastery. Before we do that, just two quick things. I think we've already chatted a little bit about them. I think two of the things that I hear most often around like designers just being nervous about approaching VIP days for the first time is that people think that they're not going to be able to produce the same type of quality in a limited time frame that they would at a longer timeline because of quote unquote the creative process, or they like, what if I don't have a good idea, or like, what if the client like hates it and I have to do like all these revisions, or they find it, they do one and they're like, hey, this is great, client was happy, but like I'm toast at the end of the day. You already talked about building in buffer time, which is awesome. But what are your thoughts around those? And then if any other, you know, if your students have come up with like, oh, I don't know, like what's, this is a sticky spot. Like how would you talk to a designer through some of those hesitations around VIP days?
So I think, like I said at the beginning, it's very important to really get clear on what you can actually get done in a day. What do you feel confident doing? You definitely don't want to over promise, like all, you don't want to promise the sun and the stars and the moon, like if you haven't done it. You've got to like ease your way into it, test it out with clients who already trust you. Don't just pitch a VIP day for the first time to somebody you've never worked with, right? You want to experience this with someone ideally that you've maybe worked with before, or you've been chatting with, or as a friend of a friend or something like that. So experiment first, figure out what is doable for you in a day. I definitely can relate to the feeling of like, what if I'm not creative on that morning? Like, what if I wake up and I have total creative block and I can't create anything for this client? I definitely used to feel that way. And I would just kind of hype myself up. Or honestly, I would do some of the work in my brain or on a sketch pad or somewhere on my, you know, on my computer, whatever. I would do a little bit of the work beforehand just to get a little jump start. Like even the night before, I would start to work on a little bit.
I've done that too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. To make me feel a little bit better and sleep good at night, that I know that I at least have something started.
So you start something. So then when you wake up in the morning, you kind of already have something to send over to them. So I would definitely do that, especially in the first few months that I was doing it. And what else? Just like just like knowing that the more you do, the better you're going to get and the easier it's going to get. It's like, I went from the point of like feeling nervous, feeling like, what if I'm not creative? What if I can't come up with anything? What if they don't like it? To literally not even giving the project a second thought until I woke up and sat down and started working on it. Like
I love that.
It was just never, it didn't stress me out anymore because I had done it so many times that I knew that it would come to me. And it always did. Like, it never didn't come to me. I don't recall any like unhappy, like there was never a disaster. It was, they always finished well. Some clients did not get as much as they wanted because they took 3 hours to, there was like several decision makers and they all had to agree on a color or a font. And it was like, just like make a decision already, guys. Like, we're wasting time. We're not going to get as much done. And they knew that. And so that kind of sucked for them. But so that's kind of my thoughts on that. And then what was your other question about burnout?
I think it was just about like, yeah, just energetically draining. Like some designers feel a little nervous about like, oh my gosh, I'm going to be so like drained by the end of the day. I mean, I feel like that's just kind of a trade-off. I mean, like that's just what's going to happen sometimes. Like that's you kind of how I approach it. So.
And for me, like it's almost like, yes, you're drained, but it's this, it's almost like this high of like, you get to the end of the day and you're like, oh my gosh, like I'm so drained. I need to sleep all day tomorrow.
But I got it done. I got it done. Like that's that feeling.
You're like, I got all that done. I just got paid four figures for this and it's beautiful. And the client is so happy. Like what's not to love about that? And then you just sleep the next day and do whatever, you know.
I love that. And I think, it's important to remember like not to do back-to-back days. Right now I have one like opening available every week. I do Wednesdays because I work Monday through Thursday and Wednesday is my VIP day slot. And I just had a client, we were going to do a VIP day this week, which we're going to do a website in a day, just a single page. I don't necessarily, I can't do more than like a single page website in just one day. I just can't work that fast. And I found the clients just, they need more time with multi-page websites. And she was like, oh, she has something come up in her personal life. She's like, can we reschedule? And I was like, I'm booked up for VIP days until like late April. And she was like, you know what? Let's just push it to September. We have a busy season this summer anyways, and it's not like a high priority. And I was like, let's do it. And I did not charge her my like reschedule fee because like I just decided to waive it for this one time. But it's just – it's nice like that – it's just easy to reschedule and move. Like I could just move one. It's kind of like modular instead of like someone rescheduling like, an 8 week project. It's crazy.
Yeah. Like I would have a client and she would maybe want a VIP day. And I'm like, no, I'm booked for the next 8 weeks, but I can put you up. Let's put you out. But if anybody has to cancel, I'll just pop you in as long as you're ready. And so I
it's like a dentist appointment.
You know, it's like, oh, this client wants to move out. And I would reach out to a client, like if I had a client next week, I would say, hey, I noticed that your pre-work isn't done yet. Would you like, do you want a little bit more time? Because I have someone who will take your spot if you want more time. And they would be like, yes. Oh my gosh. I would love that. I need more time. And so it's like a win-win for everybody.
Yeah. I just love that. I feel like that's the very definition of freedom and flexibility that I think a lot of designers are searching for. And I think that we can sometimes become slaves to our project calendars. And I definitely feel that way within my own studio where because I have such a limited working schedule while my son is in preschool and I'm wanting to be like on mom mode for the majority of my day. I work like maybe 4 hour days and I have such a limited like time at my computer that like sometimes like if a client doesn't turn in their feedback on time or we have to reschedule or push something out, that just like really causes this really stressful chain reaction with all of the other projects because I'm booking at capacity and booking out so far in advance, which is such a blessing and by no means am I complaining about that, but I do see so much more flexibility with those like smaller faster projects. And I think at this point in my career, because I've been able to get so fast at what I do, like the idea of designing an entire brand in a day does not scare me whatsoever, because I'm already doing that even for my longer projects. Yeah. It just gives the client more time to, like, you know, do we do the creative direction, the brand strategy, if they need like messaging or whatever, like I couldn't do like everything involved in the day, but the actual design of the brand, if there's not a complex like illustration included, right, then like catch me knocking that out in a single day, you know? So yeah. I think this is just, not only I'm hopeful and inspiring for our listeners, for you guys listening right now, but like, this is just so inspiring for me because my husband has actually been like looking at my offers and my profitability and is like, you need to do more VIP days, Jen. Like, mm-hmm. especially at this point in your career when you're like supporting your designers and your program and like we're branching out into some other offers and like marketing and stuff for the studio. It's like, I'm just craving simplicity and like this flexibility. Yeah. And so I am just so, so grateful for this conversation because I feel like this is definitely like giving me the kick in the pants to be like, you can do this. You can, and it doesn't have to look like all or nothing. I don't have to retire every single offer. Like I can slowly start to quote out projects I would have in longer timelines as VIP days and just kind of ease into it, which is exactly what you did, you know?
Yeah. So. I will also say one thing regarding like worrying about not being able to get a full project done in a day or, mm-hmm. you know, yes, add more days. Yes, do a little bit of work the night before or leading up to it or whatever. Like those things are all good and helpful. But the other thing is, and I noticed this about myself, once I started doing VIP days, I reflected back on my career up until then, and I was drowning in so much perfectionism. That's why I felt like everything was taken. Like, yes, the clients were delayed. Yes, there was all that. But I would sit there and nitpick a design beyond anything it needed to be. Like, the client doesn't notice. Like, those little details that we as designers are like, oh, let me just tweak this. All those little tweaks are just creating more complexity and stress and lower profitability in your business. And if you want to be more profitable, you've got to be okay with minor imperfections and just taking that action and pushing through it. Like, even though it might not be perfect for you, it's, the client is going to love it anyway. They're not going to notice that it doesn't have every single detail. So
yes, I think that's just the biggest permission slip for myself and for anyone listening. Like, I can definitely sit there and torture a design until it becomes nothing at all like what I intentionally, like I set out to design in the beginning. And then I'm like, I've sat there and wasted my entire 4-hour day, which is, that's a whole work day for me, torturing this tiny detail the client's not even going to see. And so like even stuff like I have to make my presentation like perfect and like the slides have to be all like page numbered and like, oh, it's for, it's in the name of the client experience. You know what I've been doing recently? On client delivery days for brand concepts, I'm like, I don't know if the client is going to like this or like, I just, this is what I've landed on for the day. Let me just put it in a nice layout on my Illustrator artboard. Let me take a screenshot. Let me pop that screenshot into an email to the client. Guys, yes, I never would have like condoned this. Yeah. Like I feel like a few years ago, but I've been doing that and I've been calling it a sneak peek. I'm like, oh, well, we'll put it together in like a beautiful presentation, but I wanted to send you the sneak peek of your brand. And the clients are always so excited. And it's like, I am saving myself so much time iterating on the feedback they have anyways that I'm sending the concept presentation to them a little bit later on in the process in the name of saving time. And that's just been like really fun for me because I do that in my VIP days. You know, I don't have time to throw everything into this gorgeous like Figma presentation. Yeah. Like, and I feel like I used to lean on that almost as a crutch when I wasn't as confident in my design skills. And I was like, well, they're not going to like it or approve it unless I show it to them in a fancy mock-up or if I put it in this fancy presentation. But what the client is really paying for and what they're after is the, like, if you're doing a brand concept, the brand concept. So just take a screenshot. I would text them like, oh, side-by-side color palettes. Like, do you like this shade of green or this shade of green better? Like, I've always had really great like results when I'm inviting the client a little bit more mm-hmm. into the process, which like used to terrify me. Like I would never show a client my artboard, but like my yep. VIP day clients is like a big party. I'm like, oh, look at what I'm yeah. working on. Like, here's a screenshot of that. Like, what do you think? A or B? Like, and the client just loves to be able to kind yep. of see that behind the scenes. And so I'm bringing that a little bit more into my, you know, longer, you know, timeline projects too. So maybe this is, maybe someone out there needed to hear that you don't have to record a Loom video presentation for every single client delivery that you do. And you don't yeah. have to make a 26-page brand document that has rationale on every single serif or like typeface manipulation that you've done. Sometimes just doing it and presenting it to the client and showing them right. what you've created for them is enough. So
yeah.
Wow, that was my little soapbox for today.
Yeah. And I will say, like, so many of my testimonials from my VIP day clients say exactly that. They're like, I loved that I felt so involved. Like, I felt like it was such a collaborative day. We did it together. Like, I was part of the design process and the screenshots. I'm just like, screenshot everything. And my yeah. screenshot folder is so messy and such a disaster. But then like, I'll do a social media post about my VIP day and I'll literally just like take a screenshot of the screenshot and be like, here's some of what we worked on today. And my audience would be yeah. like, oh my gosh, that's so fun. I want to do that. And so then I would get yeah. another client. And so, yeah, right. it's just like the messy part of it is what makes it fun. And you get so much done so much faster when you're not picking the whole thing apart with all those details. Mm-hmm.
100%. Well, this is such a great conversation. I want to hear more about day rate mastery. I know that you were talking about like kind of the timeline of when that came about. Tell us more about who this offer is for, what's included, and then how people can connect with you and learn more about the program.
Okay. Yeah. So Day Rate Mastery is the name of my company. My program is called VIP Day Plug and Play, and it's a 10-week curriculum inside of a 12-month container. So when you join VIP Day Plug and Play, you get 12 months access to me and our community and all of the calls and the support and all that stuff. But we have laid out like the steps. It's a 5-step program, and we say every step is about 2 weeks. So it takes you from 5 to 10 weeks to get through like everything you need to do to get this up and running in your business in less than 3 months. So starting with like testing it out, experimenting, doing it messy, and like just don't worry about the details. Like, let's just get you out there and get an offer out there. And we include all of our swipe files, all of our templates, like literally everything. I think there's over 50 templates, and there's just a lot of stuff in there because we started it in 2019 and it's the same program that has evolved. Now we're in like our fifth year. So it's really a dedicated program all about VIP days or day rates or intensives, whatever you want to call them. So that's like the main way to work with us. That is our primary offer. We have some like low ticket offers. We're kind of reworking a lot of our low ticket stuff right now, but the best way for people to really just like get, if you're interested in VIP days and you're trying to figure out like, how is it going to work for me? Maybe you don't have an 8-hour day. Like you, like Jen, you don't have 8 hours to work. Maybe, mm-hmm. Maybe you want to do like a VIP week to try to like feel it out. So I have, a PDF. It's a pretty big guide. It's called VIP Days 10 Different Ways. So if you sign up for that guide, that'll give you an outline of like 10 variations on this model with a case study of 10 of our students who are using that variation, how much they're charging, like what they're doing. That'll give you a really good like glimpse into what's possible. And then from there, we have a special offer for our new subscribers for the VIP Day Plug and Play, and all of our other like resources, you know, kind of come through our email.
Amazing. All right. Well, all of that information is going to be linked in the show notes for you guys. So if you kind of open up your podcast player and then scroll down into the description, you'll be able to see a link to that PDF guide, as well as all the information that Sarah just shared about her company and about VIP Day Plug and Play. So, and then also tell us how we can connect with you on Instagram and just kind of like learn more about your content yeah. and see like your highlights and stuff.
Yeah. So content, everything's on Instagram at Sarah Massey. That's my username. Okay. I'm taking a little mini hiatus from Instagram right now. I don't know how long that'll be. little break. I check my DMs once a day, but I'm not like doing stories, anything right now. But I have years and years and years of content, and it's all very good. And you'll learn a ton if you just, honestly, like you can learn so much from my Instagram content. Or you can find me just on my website at sarahmassey.com. And just like reach out to me there. You can send me a DM or send me an email, whatever. I love chatting with people. Email is honestly my favorite right now. So it's just sarah@sarahmassey.com.
Awesome. Well, thank you so, so much. We're going to skip our inbox question today because there was just so much great, like just content. I just didn't want to like stop talking with you. We will be back next week and we'll do an inbox question next week, guys. But Sarah, just thank you so much for sharing all of your wisdom today. I feel like you did not like hide anything behind the curtain. Guys, go check her out. Thank you again so, so much.
Thanks, Jen.
All right, we'll see you guys next week. Bye, everyone. Thanks for listening. Hit subscribe so you don't miss an episode. Leave a review, join our free Facebook community, and share the pod with your designer friends so they can join the fun. Give me a shout on Instagram at BetterPodcast if you want to submit an inbox question, and visit the pod at hellojunecreative.co/podcast to learn more and snag discounts on my favorite resources. See you next week.